You're listening to the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast, episode 15 for August
2009. It fell 1,000 years ago in fire, so hot. A carving and a man and a super plan, and his name was Alan Scott. A man without fear, and that's for sure. He got his ring from Arthur. He fought all the evil hordes, and he's the real one, Hal Jordan. Green Lantern! Green Lantern! Green Lantern! Green Lantern!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast. The Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast is sponsored by the Green Lantern Corps, where you can talk about all the latest Green Lantern news and talk about it on their forums. Check them out at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com and tell them the Spotlight sent you. I am your host, Ryan Reed, webmaster and host of the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast, I got nothing tonight. I don't know. I don't have anything. But I'm sure these other guys have plenty to do here, because otherwise we wouldn't all be here. I got, of course, Rainier 2814, the man, the legend. How you doing, Ray?
Rainier?
Rainier.
I'm regretting going to work tomorrow. That's about it.
Of course, the man with who wants Wes's Kool-Aid, Muzard. How you doing, Mew?
Fantastic.
Give him your Kool-Aid, Wes. He'll hold us off a ransom.
All right, and of course, future exterminator of centipedes, W. West, the co-webmaster of the Speedster site. How you doing there, West?
Living a bug-free life.
And, of course, finally, our sponsor, the man, the guy who brought us Bo Smith and many, many other people, Andrew Enderby. How you doing there, Andrew?
Hey, pretty good. Martini number 3.
Man, where's mine? I have an open bar for 5.5 hours at my wedding. Hey, what the hell?
Yeah, gotta
recoup. E-send the drinks.
There'll be somebody in the corner there be like, hey, isn't that Bo Smith? And who's that guy on the laptop? Oh, he's e-sending the drinks to the podcasters.
Woo!
Best wedding ever.
I'm not taking them vowels till I get a few in me.
At the rate I'm going to feel like that and the bride. Anyhow, well, we got a wonderful special podcast today. We're going to talk about, of course, the recently released on DVD and Blu-ray, of course, is Green Lantern First Flight. Woo! Yeah!
Hey.
Woo! Animation. Anyhow, well, Green Lantern First Flight is, of course, the direct-to-video animated film adaption of the DC Comics character, of course, Green Lantern in the mythology. It centers around the first mission of Hal Jordan, who is voiced by Christopher Maloney, who is, of course, the first human inducted into the Green Lantern Corps. And the film is written by veteran DC Animation's collaborator, Alan Burnett, and, of course, produced by Bruce Timm, because you know he can't do any run, and, of course, directed by Lauren Montgomery. Well, this is the fifth film, the DC's original animation films, you know, previously such as, you know, New Frontier, and of course the Wonder Woman movie, and many, many other things. Well, and of course the most recently released, you know, Batman, Gotham Knight, and Wonder Woman, as I mentioned earlier. So the plot pretty much is pretty simple. It's basically as it goes, if you don't know your Green Lantern history. Of course, before other sentient beings existed in the universe, a race of beings calling themselves the Guardians of the Universe harnessed the power of the Green Element. Yes, that's right. The greatest power in the universe to create the Green Lantern battery. Apparently the Manhunters were never talked about. However, this battery had a flaw, the color yellow, the one part of the light spectrum that it cannot resist, which is green. The most concentrated source of yellow energy, the yellow element, was hidden by the Guardians to prevent them from being used against them. Well, years later, test pilot Hal Jordan, once again, of course, voiced by Christopher Maloney, is recruited to join the Green Lantern Corps, and after the death of Abaddon Sur, he is placed under the supervision of respected senior officer Sinestro, who is voiced by Victor Garber, who is investigating Abaddon's murder. Abin was killed while doing an undercover investigation of Kanjar Row, who was voiced by Kurtwood Smith, who managed to locate the steel, the yellow element. What no one realizes is that Sinestro provided Kanjar with the location of the element in order to have it to fashion a weapon to comparable power to the Green Lantern battery. Well, Jordan quickly comes to understand that Sinestro's beliefs are not in line with those of the Guardians. So Sinestro believes that all the Guardians have reduced the cores to the role of trash collectors. No, he really says this. Merely picking up the messes criminals create and opposed to predictability and dealing with a problem. During a mission to capture Kanjar Road, Jordan is knocked unconscious by Kanjar's energy staff. Sinestro comes in and kills Kanjar, pinning the blame on Jordan, and Jordan is stripped of his ring as punishment. While Jordan waits to be taken home, Sinestro uses the ring to temporarily animate Kanjar's corpse in order to access the data in Kanjar's energy staff, allowing him to learn the location of the yellow element is on Quard with the Weaponders. Jordan convinces fellow Lanterns Baduka, who is voiced by Battlestar Galactus Trisha Helfer, and Kilowog, who of course is voiced by Michael Madsen, who is
Boudica.
But anyhow, but Michael, who was a freaking awesome Kilowog in this movie, by the way, that Sinestro is not what he seems. They catch Sinestro red-handed, but Boudica turns out to be in league with Sinestro and attacks Jordan and Kilowog. Sinestro escapes, and Boudica is killed when Jordan tricks her into destroying Kanjar's unstable energy staff. I love her final line, humans. On Quard, the Weaponers bestow Sinestro with the yellow ring and battery. Using its power, he lays waste to Oa. The yellow light easily overcomes the Green Lantern rings. The yellow battery, which, of course, practically functions like a giant yellow ring, even destroys the green battery, killing countless Green Lanterners in the process who were in space at the time. Jordan, having recovered his ring too late, pounds at the inert green element, breaking it and absorbing the whole of its power. Embedded with the full pot of the green energy, he goes and destroys the yellow battery by smashing two moons into it before attacking Sinestro. Unfortunately, he's exhausted most of his power by destroying the yellow battery. Jordan is left weakened against Sinestro, whose ring still holds a significant charge. After a pitched battle, Jordan uses the last of his power to knock Sinestro to the surface of Oa, where Kilowog crushes the yellow ring. Kilowog then saves Jordan from the free fall. Later on, Oa is rebuilt and the Green Lantern battery is restored. Jordan is asked with the Guardians to leave the Corps and reside in the Green Lantern Earth, in which they do, and then, of course, Jordan then leaves for Earth to check in his other boss, of course, Carol Ferris, who is voiced by Olivia Diablo, and remarking that it's a very long commute. I usually go first here, but I know the man who could have missed CDs is wants to talk. So Musar, go right ahead.
Okay, where to begin on this film? Well, first off, I really like the look of it. It looks nice. It's got an interesting style that tries to make it more fitting of just instead of people in spandex, kind of give it a more armor effect, which in many cases actually does work though. Andrew had mentioned before we started the cast, Kilowog just kind of looks a little bit weird. But many of the aliens do look quite interesting, and I like the concept of an origin movie about them, but something's just off with the fact that it doesn't even relate to willpower as being the energy source, and a lot of the issues involving the Green Lanterns and certain people who weren't villains before becoming villains, and a lot of characters dying in rapid force that were more long-lasting, and I don't know, there's just something about that that's just upsetting, these massive kind of changes. You know what I mean?
No, I understand.
I've also noticed that there was a lot more commonly spoken language that you wouldn't quite expect normally from those types of characters. I'm not saying they don't normally just speak like that, but they would just seem like they're more actively pursuing PG-13 dialogue. Did I was the only one to get that impression?
What example could you give on that?
I thought that was refreshing.
I mean, I'm assuming just referring to the PG-13 level language and a few.
What do you mean? Sinestro saying your ass is mine now?
That was the best.
Okay.
A few colorful words are in there.
Which is not exactly that bothering, but it was almost kind of like they were just trying to simply go for that.
Like arbitrary.
For someone like Sinestro, when you kind of picture him as a space Hitler, you think language is the first thing he's going to start trying to control.
Yeah, that didn't
seem. It starts with what people can say, which starts with what they can think with, and then suddenly he's separating certain groups, and then suddenly he's persecuting certain groups, and then suddenly you get space Hitler pursuing space Jews.
I like the line, but it's not in character with him, not what I was saying.
Especially when he's like, "Where is the bastard?" I'm like, no, Sinestro wouldn't say that.
He's more restrained. I mean, maybe he's thinking that, but he's not going to say that. You know?
Right.
And this Sinestro was like, he didn't think he was evil until after he was already kicked out of the Corps. Versus this one, he seemed to be going with this kind of change thing. I mean, he didn't openly just ignore the Guardians all the time when he was still a Green Lantern. He just was very strict, and they didn't realize how strict until they saw that.
Right.
Which is kind of a... You know what I mean, right?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I got you.
I'm trying to struggle to form the exact... It's kind of hard to find the exact words of what I'm trying to say here, because there was just so many things I felt like there just should have been slight, at least slight differences in. To somewhere I was like, okay, that's a major change. Like, their power source was a real major change I didn't like.
Oh, yeah.
Just some random space crystal instead of a container that draws in all the willpower of the universe. I mean, that's a massive change to the storyline that alters fundamentally everything. There's no mention of the Manhunters at all. There's no mention of any sort of former attempts. I mean, there's just a lot of changes.
Well, it was a contained story.
It's 77 minutes.
But it was the kind of thing where it's like...
Well, yeah, I'll get into my own.
Did they really need to change the origin of the battery, even with 77 minutes? I just said it contains the willpower of every living being drawn in there?
But it's basically the same as saying, oh, wait, there's a giant rock in it, too. I mean, what form is the contained essence of all the willpower in the universe?
Well, they never once referred to will.
Yeah, they didn't once refer to will, but it doesn't negate the fact that their power comes from a mysterious source. I mean, what is will?
From a physical piece of matter, though? Where'd it come from? I mean,
right.
I wouldn't have been half as bothered if they said they found a giant space well of willpower.
Yeah, because at least
who knows? It could be a giant chrysalis for a giant space well.
But it's like it's a material thing, and that's kind of that brings up a lot more questions than it answers.
I think it's supposed to.
It's the kind of thing where it's like if they're really going to boil it down that far, that to that small. I mean, to like a couple of rocks, and this is what it's all about. I mean, they shouldn't have even bothered then. They should have just avoided the issue altogether and just like, hey, there's these space cops and, you know.
I mean, at most, the only other change I would have thought is kind of cool would be a fusion of old and new Green Lantern with it being the Star Heart and them using magic rings. Because at least then I would have seen like an interesting twist on the story.
Don't know about that, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, come on, a Star Heart core? Magic Green Lanterns flying around?
Well, you know, if we're going to have the green element and the yellow element, then why didn't they just say there were seven elements of different parts of the color of the universe? You know, why didn't they just go with that?
Why didn't they just let Johns write it?
Wow.
He's writing the Flash movie. He's not good enough for the Green Lantern cartoon.
He's not writing it. He's writing the treatment.
Correct.
The treatment.
He's helping the plot.
I think he can't, nor should he, write everything. I mean, come on.
Not everything. Everything Green Lantern. Fear me!
Ignore me!
Well, what would be your final thoughts on all that there, Mew?
Oh, it's just, it has potential and it has good moments, but there's just too many moments where I was just kind of disappointed. I mean, it's a nice try. I liked several of the voices and several of the concepts, but in the end, I could only give it like a C. Okay, just generally, like I was saying, I would have to really just give it a C+. It had some good moments, but overall, it's just not what I was looking for in a Green Lantern movie.
Okay.
And that's my final say on it. But of course, I will be commenting in all of your says.
Well, of course. So, Ray, tell us, what were your thoughts on First Flight?
Are you crying for justice?
Wait, is Andrew, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, I saw someone's mic was going on, like in and out. I really liked the film. You know, when I got it, you know, Saturday when I found it, unwrapped it, put it into my DVD player, and watched it the first time, I loved it. Then I watched it a second time because I really liked the film. And to me, it's a like I was saying before, it's a really well put together, you know, contained story because you know it's supposed to be its own entity outside of the regular Green Lantern continuity.
It's not my Ion.
It's not your Ion. It's not your Parallax. It's not your first space Hitler with a blue and black leotard.
Right.
But it is my sexual predator.
It has the predator in it?
No, it was a poor joke. Continue.
Crystal Raptor? Anyway.
<Ba-dum-bum.
laughs> and the characterization of the characters within the film was good. I mean, as characters themselves, you know, when we see Hal Jordan, you know, he's a cocky, fearless, you know, test pilot who gets drafted into a Green Lantern Corps, and he goes, you know what? I got the hang of this thing off the back because that's who he is. I like this characterization, but he was the new the green kid in this giant swimming pool that he's never been in, and seeing Zendesho coming into play as the veteran space cop, not really teaching the younger kid, but more than likely like showing him his beat and seeing showing him how crazy this universe can be, was a good way of portraying the story. A lot of people try to comment that try to make a claims that this movie is like watching Training Day, which is
how can it not? I mean,
yeah, it's very similar to the same fact. In fact,
I'm pretty sure I read something with the writer even saying the same thing. So that must have been the inspiration.
Sinestro is Denzel Washington, and
yes,
and Hal Jordan is Ethan Hawke.
But again,
because of that, I really like the film. The twists and turns in the film, Being the one asset that I didn't see coming was Boudica's betrayal of the core, following Sinestro. That was something. I mean, it was put in there for shock value, which the film which the film desperately needed, because it needed a shock value.
Right.
Hey Ray, was it good characterization on her?
I mean, she was. I mean, the great thing about it was everyone beforehand, like every one of us, thought she was gonna be the love interest.
Yeah, gotta say, I feel stupid.
Every single one of us, as the movie is being leaked out and, rumors here and there, and then those pictures of her that we saw were, pouteful lips and, doughy eyes, we all thought, Oh my god, she was going to be Hal Jordan's little freaking wrapped around finger girl.
Yes.
Hal is a pimp like that.
Yeah, and then when it came to it, and we see that one part in the film where she's like, oh wait, you were played this entire time. It was like, you know what, that's a cop movie.
You get that yeah.
You get that one part where you get that girl who you think is like, oh, she's into me, I'm into her, and then next thing you know, oh wait, she was really into the freaking bad guy. I liked it. I liked the characterization of her character in the film, because she went from, I'm nice to you, I do this and that, this and that, and then you know what? Fuck you.
She's into you with a green axe.
Yeah.
Fuck all y'all.
Yeah, fuck all y'all. And then her ultimate death in the film was great. One of the things that in the film, which is funny, is like how big they're trying to make Kanjaro now, like in everything.
No one cares about Kanjaro right now.
Yeah, but he's becoming big in everything now. It's like Kanjaro is becoming like the next big thing for some reason.
He's a big villain. I mean, he goes back to like Justice League of America number 4, number 3 or something. He's been around a long time.
He has been around a long time, but he's from then till now, he's been considered a joke in most circles.
The most problem is he's been standing beside bigger people.
Right.
Right.
I mean anyone will look small next to the Anti-Monitor.
but the rest of the point of the story is, even before it was actually shown that there was a green rock inside the Green Lantern battery, when Boudica was relating the story, to me, I was like, I like that, because it was more like she heard the story from somebody else. So it wasn't like, it's not like anyone truly knows what's inside the battery. It was just said, oh, there's a rock in it.
But then they show you without a shadow.
Without a shadow of a doubt, there's actually a rock in it. But to me, I think they also made it a rock just to give Hal Jordan something physical to punch later in the film.
They could have put Batman in there.
Batman just floating there with his essence of knowledge and everything.
Take your best shot. The power source. Of
I know, Sector 2828.
But,
That's all you got.
That's all you got. Here's a snippet of my power. I even like the way that the weaponeers were introduced in the film. They phased into from another reality and then they phased out, meaning that it leaves them wide open for another story. Because that's the one thing about this film that I keep considering, is the fact that there's no real clear cut ending to it. It's just a wide open story that we can keep going here if we wanted to.
The red element will be found.
I find it weird that Kord was actually supposed to be in the universe instead of in the Anti-Matter universe.
I mean, it doesn't negate the fact that there's a planet named Kord.
They did this halfway thing where it's like there's a real planet Kord in our universe, but they still bothered to have them fade into another universe. It's like, pick one. I mean, which one is it? I mean, just choose.
They could have just called it another one and then said they're heading back to Kord.
Eh,
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Rob Paulson did the whole creepy thing out of the weaponers, but yeah, it was like, pick something.
I wasn't disappointed. I mean, it gave it something physical to go to, and then, you know, the weaponeers can... Yeah, I mean, a planet's a planet, a name's a name. Yes, it's steeped in Greenlander history. Quark is, like, supposed to be the center of the anti-monitor universe.
That was so always weird.
Wasn't it?
I found it always weird that OO was Sector Zero and Quark was Sector Negative One.
Negative One.
I guess it'd been weirder being Negative Zero.
So it basically means that apparently OO is the moot point. It's like the be all end all of the center of everything. Everything just, you know, branches away from that. Apparently,
maybe the antimatter Biot is in 3602.
The one thing that is, you know, again, Sinestro's characterization in the film was great. He got the most characterization out of anyone, the most character development out of anyone in the film. The one funny part is also is the fact when he tortures that one guy, that one squid alien.
Oh yeah, Cooch.
And then the Guardians come in, going like, wait, like Green Lantern of 1417, we have warned you repeatedly about these offenses. It's like, wait a second, you've warned them before about murdering somebody. And you haven't removed his ring yet?
Hal Jordan makes one mistake in a spaceship and he gets his ring removed. Sinestro's killing people left and right.
Guy goes like, hey, you killed somebody. It's cool. He was probably trying to kill you before. But wait, Sinestro is holding a prisoner and he kills him like multiple times. Nah, it's fine. He's the most venerated Green Lantern of all time. He's the greatest.
Everyone gets a warning.
Everyone just
for Hal.
Unless you're from Earth.
But at the end point of I would say my grade for this film, I give it a solid A, just because it was a great story, and it doesn't fall that far away from the Green Lantern genre or the Green Lantern verse itself.
Willpower to bring the dead back.
A, it's done with black rings.
Well, he didn't really bring him back. He just kind of reconnected his synapses in his brain to kind of
give it motor functions.
Yeah,
a puppet master with strings, sort of a thing.
Just imagine Sinestro doing that and just like keeping people dead for 30 years, like bringing down like a bunch of puppets to battles.
Dance for me,
Abin Sur, dance for me.
I have no friends.
Well, West, I know you're ready to shoot out your opinion, so go right ahead there.
I liked it. Yeah. I thought it was well made. Voice cast was excellent, and further praise definitely needs to go out to Garber. He was easily the best part of this movie. Easily. What I didn't like was a lot of it, actually. I think the biggest complaint and the easiest complaint is we didn't get to see First Flight. We didn't get to see the training day aspect. We didn't get to see how make his first construct or, you know, go through training with Kilowog like he should have done, or any of that first step that any usual Lantern would get. Instead, we got 2 to 3 minutes of him sitting in a lunchroom, and that's just excess stuff that was just blah, should have been taken out. And I don't think it's a problem with the story, because in the end it worked out. It was a good movie. Just it's flawed in so many places. There,
taking the lunchroom scene?
No, I'm saying that's a bad scene that should have been thrown out. Because I can nitpick on that because we didn't get that crucial Hal being trained with the ring or Hal training himself with the ring. We didn't even get to see him fly around Earth. Like
we did.
We
a minute and a half.
We saw him fly around Ferris for like
and
2 seconds.
City for a second.
Yeah, that's right. Like 2 seconds, right? When he brought the pod back.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. It's like, oh, here's Coast City, and then he's gone.
He floated around Coast City. So.
Like they said, and you'll be getting some visitors soon. What, that soon? Like
yeah, like a couple seconds later.
He can't get a fist fight in with a thug in there. I'm sure there's somebody robbing a bank somewhere in DC Universe.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what we wanted to see. Hal Jordan stopping a mugger.
Or like
that,
a minute
that would've been amazing.
A minute sequence of the Invisible Destroyer or something. You know, something with the
Evil Star. Yeah!
Not Evil Star.
Or Sonar.
It should have been Airwave.
Like, and can any of you really say that big Sailor Moon sequence was necessary?
No.
That was terrible.
No.
Willpower, prism power.
It looks like he's passing a kidney stone when the ring is on his hand. What the fuck is that?
He's screaming like it was the worst thing in the world.
Always hurts the first time.
It's like the sapphire ring.
Right.
Halfway to orgasm, but the transformation's done.
That was totally terrible.
I mean, it was obviously based on Sailor Moon. What else could it be?
Obviously, like, and it kills me because I love Alan. And particularly the end, and I know we probably should have said this at the beginning, but spoilers. Glowing green Hal Jordan, really? That didn't bother anybody else?
Oh, no.
It was already done in Emerald Dawn.
That was Ion.
Yeah.
It was done in Emerald Dawn.
Yeah,
that
remember,
was lame. That's
remember
what
in Emerald
was.
Dawn? Emerald Dawn where he punched the rock and it became Ion. Remember that?
Hal Jordan.
I have the power!
Don't remember
he
that?
He gains power by punching.
That part.
I totally remember him punching rock.
He's like the main character of season 5 of Digimon. I punch you to get power.
Emerald Dawn number 7. It was there.
I punch God to get power.
I hated that part. It almost ruined the entire movie for me. And
really?
And yes, it was that bad. That and the giant remote-controlled... Yes.
Yeah, that's really what it was.
God, that was terrible.
I could have done without the Death Star.
I could have done without the fact that the Death Star was so...
That was one of the few parts I really...
That's no moon. Yeah. These are two moons.
I mean, he's basically running around with infinite energy power source. Imagine if he'd done constructs with it.
I love how that one floating Death Star was like, I pwn you here.
He could have made Galactus with that thing.
Oh.
I love the part where we get to see Hal versus Sinestro, and we get to see it from Oa, where you just see the green speck versus the yellow speck, and it's boom, boom, boom. That was great. I love that.
The fight sequence with the cinematography for that was great.
Yes.
The Dragon Ball Z fight.
Like a mini war.
Exactly. It was just like DBZ, and I love that.
Blasphemy!
And
half the cast is Dragon Ball Z fans. Don't complain.
As soon as they...
The dark half.
As soon as... Shut up.
Be quiet, you Sith.
As soon as they wrapped that up and it was over, they did the oath and it was terrible. It came off extremely corny and it felt like a weak ending.
Would you have been happy if Guy just showed up at the ending, punched Hal out, and took his ring?
Probably.
That would have been something.
That would have been my turn now, bitch.
I watched
for part 2.
And speaking of part 2, I was watching that oath, and I kept thinking, okay, right after he gets done saying that, we'll get a scene of Sinestro in handcuffs in a chair, his eyes aglow yellow, and he'll be breaking loose some handcuffs or something, and then it'll go off.
He would have done the Skeletor scene.
Right.
Yeah. And we didn't get it.
That's what we don't get in many films anymore.
I was left with the end of the oath, and that wasn't enough for me. So I was disappointed in the end. I was disappointed in the beginning. And aside from the twist with Boudicca and Sinestro's awesomeness through the entire movie.
And don't forget Chip. forget Chip.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Chip,
I think
off the old block.
Chip was funny, and I love the fact that he was there. I just don't think that was the right voice for him.
Yeah, David Lander. I mean, I was like, why does that voice look familiar? I checked out, like, oh, it's David Lander. Well, I mean, that's not bad, but no, he's not Chip.
Yeah, I needed something.
What, do you put Mickey Mouse coming out of him going, ha-ha?
No, Alvin from Alvin and the Chipmunks.
I think I like the, you know, we'll I'll talk about it later. Continue, West.
Just to wrap up this, it was so many nitpicks that it ended up being bad. Like, you mentioned a little bit earlier, Ryan, that Kilowog was great. Not so much for me. He didn't do anything, and when he did, it was only because he had been knocked out previously. So, he came off like really bad, and his design, I didn't have a problem with it, seeing the pictures coming out slowly, but the red eyes, they became a little bothersome.
Did he seem small to you? He seemed a little small to me.
He seemed stuck. Short.
Yeah, he seemed short. He was bulky but short.
Yeah.
He should have been
He
should have been
short. He
should have been tougher, though. He was taken out so easily so many times.
Oh, wait. I forgot to say this. I can't forget this, even though it's a spoiler. Oh, my God, they killed Tomari.
It was John Larroquette.
The least Hal could have done was taken off her hand when he defeated her.
Oh.
My trophy.
Missing something.
Think of Michael Madsen's voice was good, too, but they should have added, like, an effect to it. It kind of, like, seemed too human. Like an echo or a reverb or something. I don't know.
I dealt with it. I liked it. I also want to point this out. When the rings started falling from the, wherever they were coming from, I liked it. But then I thought, shouldn't those rings be going somewhere?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, O is still intact, isn't it? The battery's still up at this point. Those should be gone, not dropping to the ground. But I did like the fact that people died. That was great. And it seems to be a trend going on with these DC movies because a lot of people died in Wonder Woman.
Yeah, taking heads and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Great film.
And compared to Wonder Woman, it's not that good of a movie. I love that Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman was fantastic. Wonder Woman.
That set the bar really high. And I think this is probably maybe second or third. I think I'm a big fan of Gotham Knight. So this would probably be my third favorite DC title launched. But, on a good note, I'd probably give it a B plus, A minus.
Oh, that sounds good. Andrew, what about you?
Oh, where to begin on this? I mean, I don't want to do the move where, like, I'm coming off as like the fanboy that's angry that they messed up the continuity here, or they didn't do this right, or they didn't do that right. So, I mean, there's different ways to review this. I mean, you can review it as, is this the best possible movie that someone could see who's never experienced Green Lantern before, never read any Green Lantern comics?
Probably.
I could review it as someone who's kind of familiar with Green Lantern, that did they find the right marriage of faithfulness to the material versus still making it accessible?
The problem
I think
is,
I'm going to go from that angle, I think.
It depends on what movie you want to go to. Do you want to go for Watchmen or Mortal Kombat Armageddon? I mean, Annihilation.
Well, that's too extreme, sir.
No, we're not. We'll be here all night.
Adaptation.
We'll be here all night.
But yeah, I mean, it's a decent movie. It's like, I'd probably hold it second just below Wonder Woman in terms of just overall the cinematic experience. I did enjoy it. I was on board for most of it. It's not really until kind of it was over and wasn't too happy with the climax, but when it was over in retrospect, I had to sit on it for a couple of days, to be honest. I had to really think about, you know, what, did I really like this? I liked it, but I don't think they really, even for, with the limited runtime, that they really did the most faithful adaptation / making it accessible for new viewers, new Green Lantern fans as they could have done. I mean, there's, like, the things with the boiling down the whole mythos of the origin of the Green Lantern's power and the Sinestro Corps power to just a couple of chunks of rocks. I mean, like I was saying earlier, if they're going to simplify it to that point, I mean, don't even have it in the movie. I mean, don't even talk about it. Just leave it out of the movie and use that space for other stuff. I mean,
make us wonder.
Yeah, and like,
well, they're mysterious the whole thing, rocks.
The whole thing with
mysterious.
They come from the, you know, from the beginning of the universe. We don't know where the hell they come from.
And like was said before, also like with the whole thing on Earth was totally shortchanged. I mean, here's Carol Ferris, here's Ferris Air. We don't really get a good spark of any kind of relationship with Carol. That's something that should have been there, at least to some extent. I was thinking, oh, they're going to save this for the end. Not so much. he just kind of comes back to Earth and...
Oh, that was bothering.
It felt very truncated and just very... Everything was shortchanged and like they had to clear room for things that didn't really need to be there. I get they were going for like the training day kind of a vibe. They did it fairly effectively. Like the scenery is giving the lady that pleasure orb or whatever it was. I thought that was a very effective scene. I really loved when... I liked what Sinestro did with his little central power battery, how he kind of retrofitted it as like this mobile Death Star. I liked that. I thought that was creative and new, kind of like, well, not really new. I mean, it seems like it was inspired by the Sinestro Corps thing with the War World that had the central power battery on it, kind of like
almost
that.
A mobile MOGO.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked that. I thought that was cool. But just, and things like like having Sinestro, I mean, just one guy with a ring being able to completely dismantle all the Guardians pretty easily is just crap. That's bullshit. I mean, and it's like there was kind of a disconnect between the Guardians and the Green Lantern power. Like, it's like they just kind of came in and sort of acted as custodians to this thing and didn't really have a lot to do with its creation. Just a lot of things like that, and I don't know. I mean,
they found a rock and they put it in the box.
Yeah, pretty much.
pretty much.
But in general, they are. The Owens were never a direct tie into the Green Lantern power. They had a separate power all to their own and just harnessed the Green Lantern power.
Yeah, that's true, but I don't know.
And it became a part of them, really.
It became a part of them. It became very organic to who they became, even if that wasn't who they were to begin with. This movie, I didn't get that feeling at all. I mean, in fact, it didn't even seem like they really had any Green Lantern power within them. It's like...
They were just shooting air, basically.
Yeah, Sinestro. Yeah. And he just dismantles them without even freaking a sweat, and that's before the Death Star even arrives. And that just kind of really disappointed me there.
They're just midget air conditioners, basically.
Pretty much. And just things like that. I don't want to get too much onto the. They didn't do this right from the issue number 21, whatever.
Hal Jordan of Sector 2814. You need to be cooled down. Welcome to our fan.
Central air is optional.
The central air battery.
I mean, it's just, if they were to take like the points that would make a good Green Lantern movie and boil it down to like a, I don't know, 80, 90 minute running time, they could have done better than this, even in a animated movie kind of a thing. But what they did was serviceable. It's not bad. It's actually pretty good. Just not as good as even some of the other movies they've made, like the Wonder Woman thing, which is pretty phenomenal. It left me with kind of an empty taste in my mouth, and not even as a Green Lantern fan, just as, I mean, the ending is, it didn't make me very excited for what's to come. I mean, I don't know, they say the oath, and then what? I mean, what's next? I didn't really care at that point. Granted, there's probably a little bit of that, it's just from, you know, being a little bit disappointed, but I try to remove myself from that, and I still end up kind of I end up being left cold, so. As someone who's kind of familiar with Green Lantern comics and the whole mythos, I'd give it a C+. As if I was to take myself out of that as just a normal moviegoer who says, oh, Green Lantern, let's check this out, I would give it maybe a solid B, to be fair. That's all I got.
Kuhan?
Hey guys, Kuhan here. Since due to some miscommunications, I couldn't actually make it for this episode, but I wanted to record some of my thoughts, so I guess it'll be splattered out throughout the episode or whatever. I don't know. Okay, so for the voices, like Maloney's voice, in the beginning it was kind of off, but it kind of grew on me. So like in the beginning I was sort of like, this guy sounds a little off, doesn't sound like Hal to me, but it sort of grew on me. Sinestro's voice, I thought, they got pitch perfect, spot on. And some of the other voices, I don't even remember. Like, Kilowog's voice is a little weird for me. I think it seemed a little too high-pitched. It'd be a little bit deeper and a little less... You know, there was, that had a lot of random filters or some stuff to do on there, but whatever. Yeah, the actual story of the movie was pretty good. I enjoyed the way it was well paced, and it was a good origin story, great origin story, and I enjoyed the way you know, Sinestro's deception and that kind of stuff. It seemed very much based off of I think Emerald Dawn, although I haven't actually read Emerald Dawn, so I wouldn't know that for a fact. But yeah, you know, the Sinestro is training him, and then of course they added some other stuff there, so that they could, I guess, set up the Sinestro Corps for future movies, if there are future movies, I don't know. But yeah, so overall it was a really good plot, pretty good movie. I enjoyed watching it, maybe because I watched it at work while I was supposed to be working. I was pulling charts and stuff while watching First Flight. Probably should have watched it again, but whatever. All in all, it was a pretty good movie. And, you know, 5 stars. It's a really good Green Lantern movie. Sure, they could have done some stuff better, but, you can always do something better. So, I think that's it for my thoughts. I probably would have had more if we had done this a little bit differently, but, you know, whatever. So thanks for listening to me.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of echoing everybody else here. When I was watching it, when it started, I was like, okay, they're just doing the whole classic, okay, here you go, Hal, here's the ring. But then after that, it was kind of, well, I know, I'd like to see you doing a little something on Earth before Sinestro and everybody shows up. I mean, Sinestro comes up with some, you know, great lines. I think Victor Garber did a incredible Sinestro and everything, but, you know, it's just, I don't know. I just felt it was off. I mean, being, you know, I don't want to be the angry fanboy either. I mean, there were things I liked. You know, I loved seeing Sinestro in this whole, you know, Yellow Lantern costume. I thought that was great. You know, I loved Boudica. I loved the twist with her betraying and everything. You know, and, you know, John Larroquette doing the voice of Tomar Rey was really good. But, you know, we needed more Kilowog. I mean, I really enjoyed him, but, you know, we needed a little bit more Kilowog, like everybody else said, you know. And, you know, we have the Yellow Lantern Death Star that gets destroyed by 2 moons, which was great, and then the little watch. But, you know, we have some Easter eggs, you know, it's like look into the crowd and see if you can figure out which Green Lantern's who and where and not, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. They also killed Salik.
Yeah.
They killed everyone that mattered.
Yeah, they did.
Must have missed that somehow.
Yeah, he was with Tomar Rhee, as they call him in the film.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. He was with Tomari when they confronted Sinestro on Kord.
Yeah, it's like after he died, it's like, oh look, Arisa can talk now. She's not just sitting there being the blonde beauty.
Boudica had a messed up death, getting impaled by those improbing machines.
Oh, that just made me go, whoa.
I like
they
that.
Could have,
death,
they could have at least had her hand cut off by one of those things in spares. Reference.
Yeah, that would have worked. That would have worked.
Appeal to the fans through subtle references.
Exactly. I don't know.
It would have been a higher rating from everyone.
I did like the opening where Hal Jordan's talking to Carol and he goes, oh, what about that one night? Yeah, keep an eye on the plane here.
I'm glad you liked that because that's about all we got with the two.
Yeah. I hated that. I thought about that when it was over.
Apparently Carol takes
down
Sangria like mad.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I didn't even know it was Olivia Diablo until all of a sudden it got to credits. I'm like, really? Wow, she completely got rid of her British accent. And that was it.
I think they overpaid for that cameo, because that was, what, two lines? They might as well have cut that entire part out. They could have left that to some. They could have gave that part to Tom. And we would have been perfectly fine, because at least then we wouldn't have to. Like, there was no romantic interest, there was no chemistry between the two.
No, there wasn't.
Two people talking, and if you had nothing to do with Green Lantern before this, you would have felt nothing there.
Yeah, I still felt nothing.
It was there, it was subtle, but it was there.
Yeah, I think we got more in First Flight.
I think you wanted to be there.
I mean, not First Flight. I mean, we got more in New Frontier than anything, so.
An hour and a half is not time for subtlety, it needs blatantness.
That's why his ass is his. No, anyhow.
Hour and a half. I mean, it's the kind of thing that would, if we got another 10, 15 minutes it could drastically change the way we look at this movie, but
we didn't get that, so yeah, I'll give it a B minus. That's really all I have to say on it.
They could have taken the final Harry Potter route and just made it two parts of a movie.
Well, there you go,
back to back.
I doubt this is going to see a sequel, but
that's what it is. Too.
I really hope it does. I mean,
when I win the lottery, I'm going to pay for a Green Lantern movie to be made.
I think if it does get a sequel, it'll be down the line, because they've got a lot on there.
Yeah, they're all.
Oh yeah, especially after Public Enemies.
And it'll probably end up falling back to the same route that Disney took with their sequels, where the first one's great, the second one went, what the hell happened to their budget?
Right.
If you've seen any Disney sequel, you'll see that.
Yeah, you will. Like,
this and is then, a crap.
And then when the live action movie hits, there's going to be an inclination to kind of make things more in line with that, probably. I don't know.
I don't know.
That's also the reason why I view the movie as it does, because there is a live action one coming out. So, you know, to have everything that's being explained in the animated film and then be re-explained during a live action, I don't think DC will go that route.
Well, it'll be better.
They don't
at least
coincide. They don't. They're not.
It's also the main reason why a lot of the things that happened during the animated stints during Justice League. Which prevented Batman from having his supporting cast anymore was during the same time Batman Begins came out.
Wait, that makes me think. When are we gonna see that Teen Titans movie?
The one that was the third ever.
Canceled that, didn't
they? I think it was.
They haven't canceled it.
It might as well.
They did cancel it for a while.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not even gonna.
I mean, that would have been a great movie to see. An actual good telling of it without any edits. The whole PG-13 thing. And I know it's never gonna happen, but I want to. I want to see an animated Fourth Worlds movie.
That's tricky. That's
capturing Jack Kirby's art style.
Yeah.
And where do you
end it though?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Right. You begin it on Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen 133, and you end it on Hunk Dogs, and you do not stop until you get every detail.
Yeah,
that'll be a hard one to market, just because. As good as the fourth series was.
Hunger Dog isn't even supposed to be the end. I mean, you gotta do like at least make it three movies. You could almost do it in three, but shit.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, speaking of the final part of this movie, I mean, depending on which DVD you got, you know, it depends on the special feature. I mean, Blu-ray, you know, had some of the Justice League on it and everything, and there, you know, you had some talk on Blackest Night. I think the really, really biggest thing to talk about, which deals with this movie animation, of course, is the, you know, Superman, Batman, Public Enemies, which is, of course, coming out. It's coming out in the late fall and everything, but they pretty much are bringing back all the, you know, most of the voice actors from Justice League of America animated series, as well as, you know, Batman and Superman. You know, I was watching that, you know, I know, Ray, you're going to jump on me here, too, for, you know, this is, you know, the Jeff Loeb story, and they were kind of amping that up. But, you know, I'm actually kind of excited about this, and, you know, having Tim Daly return as Clark Kent, and, you know, Kevin Conroy is back, the voice of Bruce Wayne, Batman, and Clancy Brown's Lex Luthor, and Cheech Powder as Amanda Waller. I mean, that's got me pretty interested. I mean, the animation so far looks good. I mean, I am a little wondering about the rest. I mean, Ricardo, you know, Chavira from, you know, Desperate Housewives, not in a million years would I ever think him as the voice of Major Force. I mean, why?
Well, you could really be surprised. I mean, like, some voices, like, I never expected, like, when I found, I didn't even know this for a long time until he actually did an interview, but Richard Epcar, who does a lot of anime, he actually did the voice of the Joker in Mortal Kombat vs. DC Universe. I couldn't tell because he also did the Raiden voice. He's never done a voice like that.
Right.
I was like, really? So you could be surprised by some people's voices when they try to change them.
Right. I mean, we got LeVar Burton being Black Lightning, which I know will be really good. You know, Xana Berkeley returns as, you know, Captain Atom. But, you know, they got John.
Black Lightning's Reading Rainbow?
Yeah, pretty much. Or, you know, however you want to do that. I mean, it's going to be interesting. You know, Allison Mack being the voice of Power Girl. I'm like, okay, so Chloe is now Power Girl. It's
She'd have to grow a little bit on that role.
In both senses of the word. anyhow, and then, you know, but, you know, John C. McGinley, you know, coming in for Mentallo, you know, because apparently they couldn't get Malcolm McDowell to return and everything. I mean, I'm going to have to see it.
Who's doing Starfire?
they have not announced who is doing her voice yet, or Katana, or, you know, Captain Marvel, or Hawkman, or Banshee, and so forth. Or if they get voices. I have heard that Mark Hamill will apparently do Solomon Grundy, but, you know, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows who Catman or Copperhead's gonna be voiced, but who Giganta's gonna be, or who'll be Icicle. I mean, he was shown in the previews as well as Captain Cold. I mean, we don't know. I mean, if they follow true to the story and everything, you know, we get Supergirl at the end, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, I'm interested in the film. I don't know. I mean, after Wonder Woman, as we've all said, you know, it's been really hard to top that because they did that almost flawlessly, almost. You know, it had its problems, but Wonder Woman just set the bar so high, and then we get Green Lantern. We're like, oh, Green Lantern was like, well, that was okay.
Wonder Woman took a lot of liberties, but it did it in a very organic fashion, and it worked. It worked well.
Exactly. So, you know, it's like Public Enemies. I mean, even from the, you know, what we've seen from the previews, I mean, it's all from the comic. We've heard most of the dialogue. I mean, they'll go their own way, and it's, you know, Ed McGuinness artwork style, which is be interesting to pry from Bruce Timm art, but, you know, we'll see.
I mean, still waiting for Green Lantern Rebirth Animated.
Yeah, exactly. We all are. It's Sinestro Corps.
Not gonna happen.
I know.
If they can get Planet Hulk, they can get this.
Yeah, Planet Hulk I'm interested in, but, you know, that's in February. I'll judge that when I get there. Ray, I know you've been ready to say something, so go ahead.
Damn Jeff Loeb!
What did he ever do to you?
He made bad stories, that's what he did to me.
the way you decry him, it sounds like he murdered someone in your family.
What did he do that was bad?
Hush.
What's wrong with Hush?
He raped my Pat, man!
Hush wasn't bad, it was just extremely flawed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that means it's bad.
I like the character of Hush.
I don't.
You're a Nazi.
No. See, here's... I won't even get into
Hush. Right did a good arc with him.
I would not get into Hush right now. He's done too many things for
Paul.
For, you know,
Dini.
Huh? Let's get another Paul Killer Croc fight.
Killer Croc. Anyway,
Heart of Hush was good.
Well, the Heart of Hush wasn't even written by him.
That was
I know, Dini. But I liked Paul Dini's writing.
Yeah, Paul Dini's writing was great for that story. I like that story.
It's so unrelated right now.
Yeah, we were talking about Hush, damn it.
Yeah. Anyhow, back to Jeff Loeb.
The Public Enemies as a movie looks interesting to watch, and I'll watch it. I'll probably pre-order it off of Amazon soon enough. And I like Bruce Timm's little explanation. Go like, you know what? Their character designs are so vastly different because Ed McGuinness was comic book artist who did the book. So they took their previous models and just pumped them full of steroids, just muscle upon muscle. It's hilarious.
Rob
but,
Rob disgusting.
Liefeld.
Right,
Rob Liefeld. Don't not even bring Rob Liefeld into this conversation.
Rob Liefeld rides and draws Green Lantern.
Oh, God, no. I'll burn the book where it stands.
What happened to our local comic book store? Rob Liefeld, Green Lantern, must I say more?
Burn! But, you know, it seems interesting. I love that it has, like, this gigantic assortment of characters, which is... one thing which I like in an animated series, but it's the one thing that I constantly hate Jeff Loeb for.
The cameo.
The one thing about Jeff Loeb is that he can't really write a story without pretty much going like, okay, I'm just going to throw in as many characters as I can in there and not really develop anything.
So true.
Would you be happier? Would you be happier? Our world's at war?
Yeah.
Would you like to put the movie just in the Spanish language and just watch it like that?
I'll still be able to understand it.
Okay, French.
I'm learning that too, so yeah.
Japanese.
He's the Gene Simmons of Jeff Loeb bashing.
It's coming in there with the Japanese. Anyway, it looks interesting. You know, as an art perspective, it looks interesting to see. I want to see how it's going to turn out. Story wise, however, because it's based off of the Jeff Loeb book, I'm really. Really gonna be terribly disappointed in it. I mean, Superman and Batman fight Hawkman and Captain Marvel, and Hawkman beats Superman with a freaking mace because it weighs the what was it again?
It's the claw of Horus, and he basically hit him with a planet.
Yeah, he hit him with the force of the moon, quote unquote.
Oh come on, he gets hit like that five times a day, and he just gets back up.
And yet,
I was stuck. wish he was a JLA ago. He got hit by a planet or something. Oh, that was another moon, too.
No, he had to make sure he went exactly at the speed of light so he could get infinite mass and push the moon away.
Yeah, DC likes moons.
Because they realize that going faster than the speed of light doesn't make sense in that context, so they have to slow him down.
One thing I do know is that there's no mention of Nightwing in this thing, is there?
Or Supergirl, or Huntress, or Crypto, or anything.
Huh.
Wait a minute, didn't I see Nightwing in the preview?
I didn't see him anywhere.
You sure?
He's not even listed for character.
Huh.
Nightwing is dead to Didio.
I was making sure when they were flipping through the character designs in the trailer, or in the little sneak peek, I was trying to make sure if he was in there. Nothing.
Well, that's
it.
That's
all makes sense of, now. He doesn't hate Dick Grayson. He hates Nightwing.
That's the kind of stuff that can trim. I mean, it'd be like putting Superboy Prime in a Sinestro Corps movie. I mean, how can you put him in there without explaining, you know, oh, he was on Earth Prime before the first Crisis 10 years ago?
Well, because that'll be following up from Infinite Crisis.
When they make the Infinite Crisis movie.
Yeah.
Because Prime is in the real world. He will see it done.
And they have grilled
People
cheese sandwiches.
The forums.
No, the nice touch.
did you guys see the previews for the cover for Adventure Comics 4?
It's Lightning Bug. Yeah, he looks for the black. He's looking for black rings. He's reaching
all over the place.
It makes me think that
he goes to the local comic shop, buys his issue of Black is Night Number 1, and gets his black ring.
That's what it is, because opens up a whole line of questioning. I mean, there wouldn't be any black rings on Earth Prime. So,
apparently there are Legion of Superheroes 1,000 years into the future of Earth Prime.
I keep seeing this as just a chance for them to say, like, Superboy Prime ends up becoming, like, a member of the DC workforce, and he's writing all the stuff into the stories to bring himself back.
It'll,
he becomes the editor-in-chief.
It'll work eventually if I write it this way.
And they will name me Dan DiDio. I must shave my head now.
I'll never grow a goatee.
Never grow a goddamn.
No, he kind of looks closer to Johns than anything else.
That's what's going to happen. He's going to end up being Jeff Johns.
No, Jeff Johns already there, so he kills Johns and takes his place.
That one part of that issue. Did he kill her? Did he kill Loring or whatever her name is again?
It kind of implied he did something to her. They didn't.
Yeah, he did something.
He was telling his parents.
Making grilled cheese sandwiches and freaking ironing his freaking shirts.
Or you'll end up like her, but they don't show or tell you what he did.
He might have just pushed her in front of a bus.
Or maybe he chained her up and I don't know.
He's chained her up in her basement. It puts the lotion on the skin.
I did it for you.
Oh, man. All right. What about you, Andrew? What do you think about this?
The Public Enemies?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not too excited about it. I mean, I've read the story, but it didn't really do
much
for me. It's decent, but I'm just sort of indifferent to the whole thing. Indifference.
Indifference. What about you, West?
I'm not excited at all.
it's
not even the story.
I probably wouldn't see it.
I'll see it.
Only in the comic fandom will people just go to see something they absolutely hate just so they can rag on it later.
Exactly.
And then spam up the message boards and eat grilled cheese.
No, if you look at those pictures, you will see why I hate those that artwork. They've got muscles in the crotch. They've got muscles in the crotch that I don't even have on my bicep.
Rob Liefeld.
You know what that serves a purpose, though.
Does it?
Crotch muscles?
Yeah, it's to attract the opposite sex.
So I can lift my chair with my dick? Like, what?
It's so Batman can swing by and slam his crotch in your face and kill you.
You gotta lift.
Oh, God, why?
That's the only reason, that's the only way Superman can get with Wonder Woman is if he has muscles in his crotch.
Well, he has to. That's how it works.
You do. I mean, you guys can't make it move?
He's a super crotch.
There's a difference between making a jump and lifting the world with you.
No. Put a pair of scissors on top of it or something and see.
Wes got injured as a child.
You can do some weightlifting.
Oh, jeez.
Andrew's just weird like that.
Yeah, I know. That's why we have him here.
The only thing that you probably could redeem this thing for West is if he ended up fighting, like, Snowflame or something. The villain powered by cocaine.
See, I think the only reason I'm going to watch this is strictly for the cameos.
Oh, cocaine.
I want to see what all they can do, because clearly that's what this is. This is just... Not because this is the greatest story that they could adapt or the easiest story they could adapt. It's because it's two marquee characters that feature a ton of other characters. Just in case you were going to complain about the overexposure of DC's 2, then you got all these cameos that's going to bring you in anyway. You know, say, oh, I hate Batman. I hate Superman. But I'm a big Starfire fan, so...
Couldn't they have done that with a TV series version of Trinity?
Yeah, but nobody would watch that.
That was an awesome damn comic book, you asshole.
No, it's nothing against the book. Nothing against the book.
You can get six seasons out of it.
You can't get much out of a Trinity TV show. People would say, okay, I'm done with these three already. That's why they didn't do it so much in JLU. You didn't see those three alone all the time because people know that that's too much.
Half of the book every week was not them, and then they disappeared for an entire third of the series. Yeah, what do you want?
Or there's too much of them. About Trinity.
Unrecognizable form.
Yeah, I don't know. You, what about you?
Oh, I'm not as bothered by Loeb as some other people. But... when I did read it, while it was okay, some of it just didn't make sense. I mean, like, why would anyone believe that it's Superman's fault that a random asteroid's colliding towards the Earth?
Shitty writing.
I mean, what is he, a kryptonite man? Hell, it's shitty writing that anyone would have Lex Luthor as president in the first place.
Yep.
Hey, let's
not go there. I think that's a genius idea.
Hell, a criminal isn't even allowed to vote, and yet he's allowed to run for president?
I thought that was going a bit far.
You can't name one crime that Lex Luthor has done.
Rape the innocent with his evil.
Everything he has done has been on super low or on the...
exonerated.
The skirts of badness.
Super low. I used to remember him running around with like a trench coat going like, wah-ha-ha,
wah-ha, that's me. I've got to shave my head now.
If he wasn't balding, he'd probably have a little evil mustache or goatee.
I remember shaking his fist with a freaking kryptonite rock, going like, ha ha ha, Superman, your death is mine.
he'd be like the evil Superman from that Super Friends cartoon. Great Satan! It's like, what? They said that in a kid's cartoon?
I'm in a universe of good!
Like, why isn't people looting? They're gonna go to jail for that.
Anyway.
But that aside, the Lex Luthor president thing, which I've still not gotten in the least... The more puzzling thing is, why are these heroes helping them against two recognizable heroes who have fought for good the whole time?
Because Major Force is there.
United States.
And why was there a composite Superman robot?
Asian toy maker.
Who was created by the original Toy Man.
He's a puppet. Hello?
Yeah.
Everyone saw him. I thought I pulled up my headphones for a second there. I was like, wait.
We were letting you say something.
You floored us.
Damn it! I missed my moment.
You don't get it very often.
Well, ongoing to that matter, I didn't mind some of the scenes. I kind of liked that I like the book itself. I like the idea of a Superman-Batman team-up, this kind of like a world's finest effect. But there was just something, there was just continuously something off each time. I mean, we even have a Superman going back in time to almost kill himself to stop this doomsday effect. It's just insane. And in the end, someone else has to kill Captain... Was it Captain Atom that had to kill himself?
Yeah. And become the Kryptonite Man.
In a giant composite Superman-Batman robot.
At least it's
high
concept.
And then he becomes Monarch.
Whoa. A giant Superman robot?
Superman robot. You don't remember Composite Superman?
Composite Superman-Batman robot.
No, he was named Composite Superman, but he was half Superman, half Batman.
So what, they just took Super and they just took
that's
Batman?
That's so wrong.
Batman's just like Super. It's just like composite Santa Claus being half Santa Claus, half Frosty the Snowman.
All evil.
There's a Family Guy joke in there somewhere, but anyhow, it's late.
That was more Robot Chicken, but
yeah, you get it. All right. Well, I guess we're just gonna wait and see when the movie gets released, and we'll talk about it here, and we'll have Ray, you know, put on his Red Lantern ring and just go after Jeff, and from there.
Wait a second. Screw Jeff Lowe.
We need our Red Lantern rings. Where are they? Put them out, DC.
We want them.
My orange ring tells me to give you a red ring.
And did you get us all figurines of all the different Hal Jordans at the con?
No, in fact, when I went to the con, it was like, I meant to. I went straight to the, and it was hell trying to find the damn thing. I mean, imagine wading through 150,000 people in that main exhibition area and trying to
find
it.
That's why you kicked them down.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about whatever will be available at the Chicago con when I leave tomorrow, so, ugh.
But there's all these logistics behind it. Like, you have to... I finally find the place after, like, hours of, you know, poking through places, and I finally find the digital graffiti or whatever it is, the booth, and I ask the people, like, there's a big line. I get in the line, I wait there for a while, and the guy in front of me is like, hey, did you get your ticket? I was like, ticket? What fucking ticket? Go back upstairs when you first got your badge for today, you know, you're supposed to go over there and you get a ticket if you want to get a figure. I'm like, no one told me that shit. And so I ask him, so can I just buy it now, regardless, somehow, I'll give you a little bit of extra money? Nope, can't do it. So yeah.
Ah, you got shafted.
Big time.
You should have told them you were from the Green Lantern Corps message board, you were the host.
We have street cred.
Yeah, I mean, Philip Tan will back us up.
You could have grabbed Philip Tan, Ethan and Scott, said, they said, give me a figure.
Yeah, there you go. Ethan would have said so too, and then we could have gotten Bo and we would have been set.
Ethan would have pulled out a knife. Philip would have pulled out a knife.
Too many logistics, man. I had all these panels I wanted to go to back to back, and I gotta talk to the Mirage crew, talk to Dark Horse, and left and right, and it literally takes from one end of this exhibition hall to the other, where all these people are, all these booths and shit, to walk from one end to the other, and this is not a huge building, but through all these people, it literally takes you about an hour to walk from one end to the other, just walking through these people. There's people like, people stopping, taking pictures, people just standing there, and you gotta wait, and then there's Leonard Nimoy on the side. Oh, we got a line for Leonard Nimoy over here in this line of labyrinth of people, and it's crazy. And it's just like, okay, it's not worth it. I'll go on eBay later on. I'll pay $100 for the Red Lantern Hal and Blue Lantern Hal I want, and that's it.
Yeah, there you go.
So, a scantily clad Hal.
Oh.
Well, he did say males can become Star Sapphires.
Am right.
Did it.
Yep. New knock neek.
He said that.
Oh God, Hal and Stilettos.
There's not a huge.
Yes.
Love.
Okay. Well,
so many carpets were in by Hal.
Well, I guess that's gonna wrap it up for the Green Lantern Spotlight podcast for tonight.
Well, since this is the Green Lantern Spotlight podcast, shouldn't we at least discuss the two new covers they came out with? It's a short little discussion.
Touched on the Superboy Prime thing.
Yeah, we did.
What's the other one? Who is that? Brainiac?
Rebels.
Brainiac. Oh, Brainiac with the Black Lantern ring.
A.K.A. Real Docs, leader of Legion and now leader of Rebels.
Well, you do realize you're the only one who's going to buy that issue, right?
Rainer!
Uh-oh.
Quit forgetting Rainer.
It's 2-3, guys. Put on your blue lantern rings.
And all the black.
Hope for the best.
Well, we did find out we're going to get two issues of that with the whole Starro invasion running into Blackest Night.
True.
And maybe we'll get to see Black Lantern Starro slaves.
That cover could be completely misleading.
Misleading, yeah.
Yeah, just like with the whole Superboy Prime.
And you may get a word or two about the Warlight.
I'm wondering
the creator of the series directly said that the Starro invasion is going to run into Blackest Night.
How many times have we heard that before? I'm still waiting on Wally about why Barry is back in Rebirth, and we're halfway done.
It's not written by Johns.
Back up, though. I mean, I'm wondering if this is going to explain, like, in the Teen Titans 4-issue arc where Starro was a Sinestro Corps member. I mean,
there are many Starros, and then there's the main Starro.
Correct.
Right.
There's the Starfish Starros, and then there's Starro the Barbarian.
Which is a retcon in itself, but whatever.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know, because he's a whole species, and there's one guy apparently directly controlling the entire race.
Which is a retcon, but whatever.
Which kind of makes sense with a lot of things, like in the old, the Volume 3 of the Justice League of America, the Morrison days even.
Oh, you found one when we took out an entire town?
Yeah. It wasn't ever called Starro, but now it kind of makes sense. Like, oh, there was multiple, you know, Starros, and they're all kind of coming from the same place.
They took them through their dreams!
And I could see Vril being the jerk that he is wanting to at least take one of those rings to use it as he could against Starro.
Right.
How's he going to get it? He's going to pry it off some zombie's hand?
What happened?
I would not be surprised.
He's going to jump and catch it as it's flying to some tune.
No.
He's got a team for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. As Burdox, if anyone knows how he'll do it, he'll more than likely kill one of his own members and allow them to get a ring, and then kill him to get the ring from the corpse.
We've already seen what happens when someone tries to catch a ring that's going to a new bearer.
It's
through their hand, like in the Green Lantern Corps.
Well, when you consider someone in the Brainiac line, they're a little bit tougher than your average Joe.
Yeah, but even the Green Lanterns have the automatic force fields, and it right through their hand. And
but apparently,
different energy sources.
Black Lanterns, we haven't seen them have a force field yet.
Right.
Yeah, we don't know what their powers are.
That's
what happens when a living person puts on a black.
Apparently, their powers is that of snarky comments.
You could just cut off their hand.
She hated you.
You guys
cut off their heads. That's the only way to kill them.
If you cut off their hand, you get an Evil Dead reference with a walking hand attacking people.
I follow Sex Machine. Shoot them in the head, cut off their heads, or immobilize them by hitting them in the head with a rock or something.
I've got this rock. I'm greater than a Black Lantern.
Yeah. What were you gonna say there, Andrew?
You guys want to hear my theory real quick?
Yeah. Sure.
Shoot.
I think, and that could be entirely off base here, I could be dead wrong, and I probably am, but I think that one possibility is that every time a Black Lantern ring attaches itself to someone that's dead, and they kind of come back, and they have the memories of the person and stuff, but they're not really the person, you know, like there's something not quite right. My theory is that there's a soul, a spirit, or an entity of each one of the dead Empire of Tears that died in the massacre of Sector 666, and there's a spirit, a soul in each one of these rings, and every time it goes to a new bearer, the soul kind of possesses these bodies and is kind of conscious of their memories and conscious of their personalities, but kind of still fucks around with people a little bit and takes it to another.
And remember, Sector 666 was the only one to get completely destroyed. There was like a 3600 itself was also completely annihilated.
Yeah. That was by Parallax, though.
That seems too elaborate.
By the Mad Gods. Not really. I mean, it must come down to some kind of possession. I mean, it wouldn't
need that. He got eight issues, and anything Empire of Tears is going to throw off new readers completely.
Who knows what's going to happen to the Sector of Biot?
Yeah.
What?
That's 3601.
There has to be a possessive force, though. I mean, it wouldn't be Ralph Dibny just off his.
But I'm saying it could be whoever this big bad is.
It makes them bipolar.
It could be them doing it from way back wherever they are on planet 666 or whatever sector. Sorry.
Rot.
it should be the giant universe that talked to Superman once.
I think it's one person doing all this talking. One person. He's not doing the talking directly, but he's the
it's
one.
Psycho
saying,
Pirates!
You do this. That would be simple. So lame.
You'll be here. You'll be here.
That seems too simple, though. I mean, if you say the Empire of Tears thing is too complex, that just seems too simple. It's like, oh, this one guy is pulling
all the There's got to be a middle ground here.
Yeah.
Well, this is Black and Science, not Final Crisis. So you're not going
to
get.
John's completely lied to us. It's Darkseid back with the anti-life equation.
There you go.
I would like that.
Andrew, I never asked you, how do you feel after being such a supporter of the Necron theory being completely disregarded at Comic-Con?
No, that was a mistake.
What do you mean?
They pointed out that the article that said that it was wrong was wrong. The article specifically said he was going to go into detail on it.
Right.
It's what it was meant to be.
Necron is wide open. I attended every single panel for that.
He said, no Necron. It's not Necron.
Nope. No, that was a wrong article. They miswrote how he said it.
Never said that.
Yeah.
Absolutely did not say that.
Yeah, they didn't say anything about that.
Many people pointed out that the article is wrong.
Oh, wait. Wes, you're wrong.
I'm not wrong. CBR is wrong.
Wes, you're wrong for trying to quote them.
Let us not speak of it again. Anyhow,
we'll just edit
that. You only quote our gospel.
Why didn't Final Crisis make any sense?
I'm glad we got at least one episode in where you didn't mention it.
I would have liked to have at least seen Darkseid punch out Superman being supposed to be his full power. Come on, just one punch sending him off the planet.
You know what? That would be lazy, predictable writing. And you're
what Darkseid punching Superman out of the planet?
I just wanted to see him get his ass kicked. Come on.
Who, Superman? Superman gets whooped 9 out of 10 issues.
No, I mean worse than even against Doomsday.
Oh well.
He still comes back.
Well, I think we'll bring this back up in our normal Blackest Night podcast, if I can learn how to stutter. I'm tired, folks. Anywho. All right. Well, if you want to send your love, your hate mail, your questions of why Final Crisis did make sense or didn't make sense to Wes, email us at glspotlight@gmail.com. You can also write a review for us on iTunes, or you can find us over at the Green Lantern core message board. You also can leave us a message on Twitter. We're at twitter.com/glspotlight.
I say it made sense, but only in the fifth dimension.
West, I know you got a little bit more to say out there.
If you want to drop us a line, please do so. The number is 206-337-8402. You can also
no phones
join
West.
Please no. I'm only available on the weekends.
Except if you're a hot woman, then go ahead.
And Gail Simone, because we know I like
both sex with Gail Simone. and she's never coming on. Thanks, West.
Drop us a line there. You can also visit the Speedster site forums at speedstersite.proboards.com for all things Flash. And the Twitter account for the Speedster site for up-to-the-minute updates, twitter.com/speedstersite.
Wally's World Blog.
Wally's World Blog. Thank you. I think the latest post is about finding the balance between the jerk that I am on here and
the jerk you are on there,
and having the presence of mind of high standards of comic books. You can find that at the greenlanterncore.com. You should be seeing a new post up there today, tomorrow.
Remember, Hitler had high standards on people. Specific hair color.
The next post will be about Dan DiDio and
oh no,
him taking over someone else's writing.
No good will come of this.
None.
Yeah.
And now Dan DiDio's not going to come on. Thanks.
Dan's a good friend of mine, but that's what you don't know.
Yeah, I was gonna do.
Ask him for the show.
Thanks, Wes. I was gonna do a Metal Man interview, but you screwed that over.
That's it.
Andrew, you got anything tonight?
Just to come check out the website / message board at www.thegreenlanterncore.com, or you can check out my little trivial action figure videos at www.youtube.com/NeoDevilBane. You can check them out there. That's all I got.
What about you, Mew?
I'm on this show. I'm on some other podcasts with Kuhan that he's too lazy to finish editing, and just hang out on the internet, come say hey, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. I'm not paying attention anymore. Go ahead.
And what about you, Ray?
I would like to extend all the thank you for the listeners who have listened to us ramble on for the last hour and so minutes. Do not listen to anything Wes has said before. I come visit us at the boards. Also visit it. Also dial the voicemail number that Wes had earlier mentioned. And send us any, send us your replies, send us your comments, whatever. And also thanks also for the fact that now I have 3 days off in a row from now on. So basically I am gonna be working on a multitude of things that will more than likely be done a lot faster now. So stay tuned.
Any websites of any sort?
Yes.
Yay! I'm hoping to do the same myself before the big day. So, the only thing I have to say is thank you to my wonderful friends and core member here of Rainer 2814, W. West, Muzard, Andrew NDB, Kuhan, wherever you are out there, and Darth Ennis, and everybody else who helps make the Spotlight your favorite Green Lantern Spotlight podcast around. Check us out, of course, at my personal blog at the glspotlight.blogspot.com. And we will see you later. Good night.
Good night and good night.
Green Lantern and Green Lantern Corps are property of DC Comics and do not reflect on the authenticity of this podcast. This has been Ryan Reed for the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast. We'll see you next time.